We were on our way to Atlanta to visit our son, and after Christmas, and every day as we was driving down the road, Carol was reading a devotional to me, and it was a very good devotional book, and she read this devotion. It really spoke to me, and I pray that it will speak to you today, as I took that devotion and I expanded it because the Lord was really speaking to me through that. The sermon title today is The Cling. C-L-I-N-G, the cling. In Luke chapter 10, when you start reading from verse 1, this is what it says. And after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking and such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Now go to verse 17. This is the return of the 70. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The 70 were sent out. And whoa, what an outcome. The powers of darkness was subject to them as the power of darkness is subject to you today. There were those that were saved, those that were healed, those that were delivered. As a minister of the gospel, we would say, or I would say, that looks like a very successful ministry to me. So let me ask you today, to you, what does success look like? Is it money? Is it the position at work? Is it the educational achievement that you might get to? What looks more successful to you, a church of 30 or a church of 2,000? A CEO of a major company or a garbage collector, which is more successful? A family that has a nice home, a nice car, or a mother that's pushing a newborn in a borrowed stroller because she cannot afford her own? The world's view of success is based on achievement. Probably in most Christians' lives, they would also base their success on achievement. You see, we would look at the ministry of the 70 and look at the results and say, wow, that's what I call success. But we must read just a little bit further in the scripture. We go to verse 18 of Luke 10. He says again, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Talking about the powers of darkness. But listen to verse 20. He says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Look at all the success I'm having. Look at the ministry, it's growing. But he says, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice. Why? Because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. You see, saints, results matter, but they don't matter most. Do you today want to be successful in the world's eyes, or do you want to be successful in God's eyes? Now listen to me. Our success in God's eyes is a success that is based on a relationship. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. We're not very far from there. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. So our success in the eyes of the Lord is a success that is based on a relationship. That relationship that you have developed with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 12, verse 16, he says, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There I will store all my crops and all my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Truly a picture of success in our world today. But look what the Lord says in verse 20. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself is not rich towards God. Where are you laying up treasures today? Are they treasures for yourself? Or are they treasures for God? Can we say one who is truly laying up success for themselves is not rich nor successful in God's eyes? He tells us not to do that. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, I'll go back there. Matthew 6 and verse 19. He says this in Matthew 6 verse 19. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 and we look at the Beatitudes just for a moment today. When you look at chapter 5, and we start reading from verse 1, it says this. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. When he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, some of the most unsuccessful people in the world, Jesus declares them as being successful in God's eyes. He blesses the poor, not the self-sufficient. He blesses those who mourn, not those who are happy. He blesses the persecuted. He doesn't bless the victorious. The most unsuccessful people in the world are outlined in the Bible to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I'm talking about unsuccessful, I'm talking about unsuccessful in comparison of the world in which we live today. We hear in the business world, get bigger or go out of business. Do this or you're going to be done. Get this next degree so you will be more successful. More openings, more provision will be provided for you. Get up that next rung of that ladder. That's the thing of success. And who is behind all of that? It's not God, let me tell you. It is the adversary. Because he wants to keep you so busy you don't have time to put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and keep them there. Well, we can all relate to going to work every day and being that gerbil on the treadmill that just runs faster and faster and faster. I don't know how many 7 days a week that I worked at 3M. The last year, I think I was there every day, 7 days a week. And I tell you today, I don't have one more penny to show for it now than I did then. What did I lose out on? What are we losing out on because we want to be successful in the world? And the Lord is saying, my, oh my, child. If only you would look on unto me. Do with a lot less than what you're doing, you would be successful in my eyes. Many of our families would also say that we are successful. In verse 12, it says, great is their reward in heaven. Can we say, blessed are they that have their eyes on God and their eyes not on the world? Now turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I shared this with the kids in school this past week. And I know that many things I probably share go over their head, but someday I pray that they'll see it. But in John 15, verse 1, it says, I am the vine, true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, and it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. In this picture, Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. We are not the fruit producers. Jesus is the fruit producer. When you look at everything that God has accomplished in a few short years at Cornerstone Christian School and Cornerstone Christian Church, you can say, man, we're all that in a bag of chips. And the answer is, no, you're not. Because he is the vine, he is the one that has produced the fruit, and he's producing it through us as long as we cling to him. All we do is show the fruit. He's the one that produces the fruit. We just display it. Jesus, yes, wants us to live fruitful lives. Results matter, but they don't matter the most. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So what matters most? The title of the sermon today, The Cling. Are you clinging to the vine? That cling, that attachment of you to the Lord Jesus Christ, prayerfully, it is getting stronger and stronger and stronger in your life because the stronger it gets, the more fruit that you will produce in your life. How tight is the cling in your life to Jesus? The abiding, the connection. The tighter that connection is between you and Jesus truly gives us a picture of success in God's eyes. But I'm going to take it a step further, and I'm going to tell you there is no success outside of your spiritual relationship in Jesus Christ. I want to say that again. There is no success in life outside of your spiritual relationship that you have with Jesus. The Scripture has just proven that to us. In God's eyes, that's where success lies. Now turn with me to Galatians 5, because we want to look at this fruit that He is going to produce through us as we cling to Him as a vine. So when you go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, verse 22 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." Let's just stop right there. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. These are not fruits because of your abiding or clinging to the world. They are impossible to have. There's no peace in money, and there's no joy in money. The things that you're talking about, these three things right here, love, joy, and peace, can't be bought, they can't be earned, and you can't get them in the world. Oh, you can say, well, I know what peace is. But what does Jesus say in His Word? He says, I offer you a peace that the world cannot offer. I offer you a peace in the midst of conflict. You don't get that in the world. We have a semblance of love only because God is the author and finisher of love. But if you truly want to have love in your marriage and you truly want to experience love in your life, then you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you'll never experience it. Because that's what the Word says. Joy. The joy in the world is all based on circumstances. But the joy that we have in the Lord is beyond circumstances. A peace in the midst of conflict. A joy that is beyond the world's definition of happiness. A love that is holy and righteous. These are fruits that are a direct result of the Spirit as you cling to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what the Scripture says in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. What does He say in verse 25? If you live in the Spirit, then let us walk in it. Walk in it. Experience it. I never knew love until I knew Jesus. The world is searching for what you have available to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Take the richest man in the world, or the 10 richest people in the world. They're searching for these things that is available to you through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They're trying to buy them. They're trying to earn them. They're trying to accumulate them. And you know what? You just can't do it because it's outside of the Spirit of God. The world is searching through success. We said you can't buy them, you can't earn them. They are spiritual. Fruits that are produced through the Lord Jesus Christ as you cling to Him. If you need more love in your life, you need more peace in your life, and you need more joy in your life, then you need to be clinging tighter to the Lord Jesus Christ. You will never gain the fullness of God's love, peace, or joy from the world. It is impossible to attain. But it is possible through Jesus. Now turn with me to one last scripture. Before I wear you out, we'll go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "He who overcomes, she who overcomes, shall be clothed in white garments. I will not blot out his or her name from the book of life, but I will confess his or her name before my Father and before His angels." That is what success looks like. In your life right now, are you living a life of success? Maybe just a little bit. Just a little bit. You know, sometimes we love Jesus. We know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But we're just not sold out. And we need to be sold out for Jesus to truly experience these things in His life. when we get ready to leave this earth, there won't one of us say, I wish I'd made more money. I wish I'd have bought more land. But every one of us will say, Jesus, I love you. And I want to hear the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. You don't need a checkbook. All you need is faith in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word. And oh, what a special time in the house of the Lord today. Father, your presence was here, healing and touching people, restoring people. We praise you for that. And Lord, I just ask very simply, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if there's one here that has not made a commitment to Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life, that we want to give them the opportunity to do that. Because Lord, the things that we have talked about are the things that people in this world are longing for. They're longing for love, they're longing for peace, and they're longing for joy, and they haven't been able to find it. We just give them the good news. And the good news is that those things are available through our faith and our relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ.